Immigration and the Inconceivable by Randall Smith. I don't suppose I'm the only one who has noticed that on immigration, Americans are largely talking past one another. By that, I don't mean merely that they disagree, which they do with a vengeance. I mean that the arguments of the two sides are incommensurable, making any agreement or compromise inconceivable. Let me illustrate with a different example. If you start with the premise that justice means getting to keep what you work for, then you can easily craft a valid argument that taxes should be lowered. But if you start with the premise that justice means spreading the benefits of the society around more equally, then you can easily craft an argument that taxes should be raised. The problem is both senses of justice are defensible. But since the two sides are starting from different premises, they will always be talking past one another, and their frustration is likely to give way to anger. They just want to take the hard-earned money of good working people. They just want to give tax breaks to the rich. What if we import the language of rights? Rights, in modern parlance, are taken to be absolute. They trump any social cost-benefit analysis. If I have a right to something, the government needs a compelling interest to curb it. So, let's say some people are worried about the social problems caused by pornography. If a group of pornographers can convince a court that they have a right to publish pornography, then that trumps, it outweighs, any calculus of the social problems it may cause. Conservatives understand this because many of them make the same claim about gun rights. When someone says, widespread gun ownership causes all these social problems, one need only say, owning a gun is a right, and that seems to be the end of the argument, for them at least. Thus, people who assert a right and people who enumerate social costs are simply talking past one another. If I have a right, I have a right. The way people on the other side often decide to respond is by creating an opposite right of their own. I have a right not to have my children encounter pornography. Or, we have a right not to have our community endangered by guns. So then we get people who say, I have a right to smoke, arguing with people who say, I have a right not to breathe secondhand smoke. Try getting those two to compromise or even talk to each other civilly. Now insert immigration into the above examples. Justice, for one group, means not breaking the laws of immigration. Justice, for the other, means sharing the benefits of the rich with the poor. Yes and yes. So now what? Countries have a right to secure their borders. People have a right to migrate. Okay, now what? Some people say, there are so many social problems caused by illegal immigrants. It costs so much. Maybe so, but if they have a right, then it's like owning a gun or the freedom of expression. The right trumps the social costs. They have a right, and so we have a duty to them. Others insist that if the country has a right, and indeed an obligation, to secure its borders, then we can't let immigrants violate that security, or else the border is meaningless. Try to get those two groups to compromise or even talk with one another civilly. You just want to flood the country with illegals. You people are selfish and don't care about the poor. And it just gets angrier from there. Person A lists all the horrors caused by some illegal immigrants. Person B lists all the benefits of immigrants and all the horrors they suffer in their home countries. If person A doesn't listen with enough sympathy to person B's horror stories about immigrant suffering, and if person B doesn't seem to care about person A's horror stories about problems caused by illegal immigrants, each concludes the other must be ignorant or heartless. Now let's say we introduce religion into the mix. How's it going to work out? Cleric A says, yes, it's true, there is a right to secure the border. And there is this notion of the Ordo Amoris, the order of loves, which says you can care more about your own family and citizens than others. In response, Cleric B says, no, immigrants have a right to migrate. And you have totally misunderstood the Ordo Amoris because we still need to care for others in need. Well, yes, but does that apply to people in the country illegally? And are illegal migrants the same as legal migrants? Maybe not, but they're in need. All true, but this hasn't clarified the disagreement. It has merely replicated it. And now the stakes are even higher. Because now, the one party is scolding the other, not only for being unjust, unfeeling, and a violator of people's rights, but also for being bad Christians. And, of course, that helps a lot, especially if the pious Christians now shouting at the government about immigration were suspiciously silent when the issue was abortion. Beating down the other side in print and online just makes you feel so, you know, righteous. It feels like we're really doing something. But we're not. Because what all this self-righteous posing, which ignores the legitimate arguments of the other side, will not do is help resolve the problems we need to resolve or help the people who need help. Things weren't good before, when someone let millions of people in the country with no guarantee they could stay, making them vulnerable to hordes of shysters threatening to reveal them. And things aren't likely to get better now, with the threat of mass deportations. How about meaningful legislative reform of the immigration laws and a prudent compromise that allows some to stay while insisting others must go? Well, as the fellow says in The Princess Bride, it's inconceivable.